Welcome to Evolution Through Ascension. Are you ready?
Good morning.
Well, good morning, sir.
How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
Doing good, sir.
Excellent. Sounding good.
Sounding chipper.
Chipper. Chipper.
Have you had enough caffeine this morning, sir? Yes.
Yeah. Well, yes, I have. Thank you.
And hello, listener. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Missed you guys. Hope you guys are doing well and taking care of each other.
This week went kind of quick. Feels like we just did the podcast just a couple days ago.
Yeah, this week was, yeah, it was so busy. It felt like all one day this last week, so.
Well, for today's episode, we're essentially going to kind of go back into the last episode, the metaphysical, what was it, episode 129, I think it was?
Yes.
Yeah, episode 129, the metaphysical. We're going to dive kind of back into that a little bit because, as we even said in that episode, we could have expanded so much more and explained so much more just from that offense analogy. But it's what we're going to do today. We'll go ahead and talk about the rest of that because this is really cool. This is a really cool analogy.
Yeah. Rush drew another 4 or 5 pages in his book of knowledge over there. Really badass drawings of just the inward spiral back towards source with the fence analogy overlaid over that, and then with the whole 369, you know.
But will it
overlaid over that as well?
We'll try to explain this just in the form of analogy that way to keep everybody on board. This is nothing crazy.
No, nothing crazy. We're just sitting there kind of reviewing it before the podcast, just sitting there going, whoa, no way.
But like we were talking about these, you know, walking through these fields of life, per se, we'll start with that. You know, walking through these fields of life, you know, you're walking along and at some point you're going to have to cross into the next field. Well, the only way to do that is to go over the fence that's blocking you. It's in your way. Well, as you cross over this fence, you actually gain a different perspective from the field that you're in because you get just a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm.
Getting over to the top of the fence when you're about to cross over into the next field, well, you have a completely different perspective from where you were and where you're going. So your perspective changes, your entire pathway through the fields over the fences and into the next field. And then when you're in that next area, you have a new experience, a new level of reality. Something has changed in your life, you know, and these walking through these fields and into the next and into the next, you can see that it's like a waveform.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wave pattern. And, you know, they keep going. It's, you could even look at this like we're doing this every day of going through life and, you know, those little ups and downs. What's going on? What are we working through? It could be something that the up and down could be through the weeks, or it could be an up and down that's through the months. You can see that it's still just a wave, and we have to ride those waves, those ups and downs through life. And when we resist those ups and downs is when our reality becomes more difficult.
Yeah.
Because we're not going along with it. We're not going with the flow. We're here to experience the flow itself and everything outside of it, so we can learn to keep going back to the flow. That is where the truth is. It's all of our distortions that get us away from going with that flow. All of our inner conflict gets us away from that flow. But anyway, going back to going through these fields, well, okay, so look at it over the course of your lifetime. How many fields have you had to cross and go into the next one?
Yeah.
And even past this lifetime, you'll keep going through those field into the next, and you're learning more. At least at some scale, could be very, 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 very minute, but you're still evolving.
Still evolving, yeah.
You're still working your way back towards source. It's just you may be on a different plane of doing it.
You know, and then you got to think, what are you carrying with you from field to field to field that isn't resolved yet until you reach that field where the pressure is so high, it forces you to work with what you haven't purged out yet. And you can't go any farther until you get rid of all that BS. Until it finally, something happens in your life that forces you to deal with those situations. And those are those moments where you're like, oh man, why is this happening to me? What's going on? Well, you didn't, for the previous six fields, you didn't deal with it. You know, and now the universe is like, this. Beyond this, the energy level's too high. You can't go unless you purge this crap out.
It's like you're carrying your baggage behind you, but it gets to a certain point where something is in one of those bags.
Right.
You can't carry it past this point.
You can't.
You have to
leave
it here.
So something bad happens to you, and that's the universe saying, deal with this.
Yeah.
You know, it's not trying to be mean to you. It's like you can't go to this next field next door unless you let go of that bag or dump off whatever you got going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So while the average person is like, why is this happening to me? It's not really happening to you. It's happening for you so you can move on.
But are you allowing yourself to get rid of what's in your bag?
Yeah.
Yes.
What's in the bag, baby?
No, I'm keeping it. I paid 25 cents for it.
whatever value that you have of that component that's in your bag.
Yeah.
That's going to be some type of, I mean, we can have value in trauma that we've had. It's just something that we don't want to let go of. We're afraid to let go of it.
Right.
We don't understand that by letting go of it, that you can be free. To understand what free is past it. I mean, dude, you got to go there first.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. People put value in their trauma.
Well, see, it goes back to, what are we putting values in? Are we putting values in stuff that is valueless, that is truly valueless?
Yeah.
But if we're doing that, then we're not putting value in the things that are supposed to have true value. We would have it backwards.
Backwards. Yeah, excuse me, yeah.
But as we're going through these fields and progressing with our, you know, spiritual evolution, if you will, if we're just getting higher and higher, becoming a more better and loving, positive person, well, these fields are going to be changing. They're not going to be the same fields that they were before. Even the fences are probably going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have different life experiences, a different reality, different challenges that are going to be coming your way when you come to these fences. But as you're getting higher, there actually is less fields and less fences that you have to go through. As you get closer and closer to source, it becomes less of them.
Yeah, less of them. Yeah, that's, you're going to start off in probably like a, just for analogy's sake, maybe a nasty, empty dirt lot. And as you go in closer towards source, it's going to become more green, more grass, nicer looking, you know, more plentiful, more abundant. And it's just, then it's going to get to a point where your psyche has to accept the positive that's happening. Because if you get to a point where you think you're not worthy of what's coming in, you're going to stop. You're going to be like, this is getting too good for me. Am I worthy of this? What am I doing? You got to get rid of those lack limiting beliefs of I can't have that, or I'm not worthy of this, or this is, you know, other people get this good stuff, not me. So as the grass on the other side gets greener and greener and greener, that's going to be an indication of a feedback mechanism to you to where you're at.
And that grass gets easier to walk through. It's more comfortable to walk through. You can take your shoes off and go through it versus, you know, at the beginning when you were in the rocks and the gravel trying to get through that, you know, and the dried grass, you had to have your shoes on. It wasn't that fun to get through. Now it's easier.
Yeah.
You can even run through it if you want to.
Run through it, play in it, roll around the grass.
Yeah, enjoy it.
Enjoy it, yeah. that real nice, soft golf course grass.
Yeah. If you want to visualize like the shape of what this function would look like, it would be a cone shape. So you have all these, you know, many, many different fields on the expanded portion of the cone. But as it spirals inward, as you get closer to that point, you're getting closer to source. There's less and less fields to go through. But all those fields are also symbolizing your levels of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Each field that you go into, you're getting just a little bit higher, a little bit higher, a little bit closer to source. A little bit more free, a little bit less controlled, more loving. It's a continuance of that.
Yeah, that's, you know, that, like we were talking about before we started, every time you climb to the top of that new fence, you get that higher perspective of consciousness. And then as you dip down into the new regime, you're going to lose that because you're going into a new one. So riding high in May, back down in June. So you're going to feel like you've lost connection, but really you're just going into the next backyard and you travel across that yard and you rise back up to the next fence.
Yep.
So you have little waves as you go along, as you're going downward into the spiral, closer to source.
But unless we're like journaling or keeping a diary or tracking any of this, you'd forget it. You'd lose sight of it.
Yeah,
you wouldn't be able to see that you actually are making it through all of these ups and downs, even though that you think that, you know, oh, my life is just chaos. You're still there.
Mm-hmm.
You're still here. And you're going to be going through it no matter what, but you are going to persevere. No matter what.
Yeah.
Everything is going to happen precisely how it's supposed to happen. But we get so wrapped up in what's going on within our minds that we lose sight of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the chaos in your mind just completely distracts you from the progress, any progress you've made.
Like, how many times has our mind got us off track? And we're like, oh, I'm not going to be able to get through this. I'm not going to be able to do this. But we end up going through it anyway, doing it anyway, but we forget that one time that we fought it and we kept fighting it. Once it actually happens, all of that past is forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Gone.
There's a lot that we have forgot about the things in our past that was trying to show us the proper way.
Yeah.
To show us our higher way and you know, and being blatant about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the specific times when life was showing me, hey, dude, this is your way right here, man. Yeah. Know for a fact that those key points that it was showing me something. And I'm sure that if you dive you know, back into your life, that you would be able to eventually find those same points within yourself.
Right.
Now, whether you listened to that advice and took that direction, who knows? Some you did and some you didn't. But the ones that you didn't take, I bet you learned something very valuable in those lessons.
Hopefully you did.
Hopefully.
I hope so. Yeah. That's got to serve as a catalyst for, at least at the bare minimum, of knowing to take advantage of the next opportunity that comes along. You know, maybe you figure it out in hindsight and you're like, oh man, I should have taken that. Now I know for next time. You know, so you know what you missed. Now you know what you definitely want.
Yeah. Taking advantage of the now.
The now.
Taking as much advantage of it as we can.
Which is something that we forget to do. Because we're either always living in the past or the future. Uh-huh. We're so worried about what happened versus what can we make happen that we totally forget what's happening right now.
Or thinking about what's going to happen later on the day or later on the week and just being focused on that instead of being focused on what's going on right now. So we've missed so much.
Yeah. It's that whole control mechanism of what's going to happen in the future. Trying to plan and plot and shape it a certain way, but there's definitely beauty in the moment. Beauty and lessons and things for you to enjoy in the moment that we just miss so much of because we're just not focused.
With that being said, with all these fields and stuff that we're going through, we're not actually the ones walking through these fields, going over each fence into the next field. We're not the ones that are walking. It's actually the fields and the fences. All of that is turning. We're in the same point.
Yeah.
We're just going along with it.
Right.
Everything is already in motion. Now, are we resisting that motion? That's where we run into the difficulties of our life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys at home just got to remember creation is already complete. So as the spiral turns inward, like Russell said, your legs are moving, but you're not, you have the perception of walking forward, but you're not. You're walking in place as it turns underneath you, and you're going through those backyards, and you are dealing with each backyard as it happens. And eventually you get to a point where you can't progress because you skip something in one of the backyards. And as life tries to turn, it starts to bound up because you haven't dealt with something, and it forces you to deal with something by having something perceivedly bad happening in your life. So that way you can keep going with the rotation of everything spiraling back inward.
It's funny because it's like it's moving. You hit that fence post and you can't go any further. No. So the universe is actually backing you up. It's pushing you now. It's
pushing you back.
Yeah, because you're resisting against it. You're not going over the fence.
Right.
So at some point, yeah, if you keep resisting and keep resisting, something in your life major is going to happen that is going to slam you into that next field.
Yeah.
You want to try to avoid that as much as possible.
Yeah. Why is this happening to me?
But yeah, letting go of your resistance and allowing yourself to just go over that fence.
Mm-hmm.
Everything will kind of go back into place.
Back into place.
Dust will kind of settle and you'll get rebalanced and just kind of go back along with the flow again.
Yeah.
But yeah, that snapback would be something.
Yeah. Major eye opener.
Yes.
Major eye opener. Wow. Yeah.
And it I mean, it would be cool in the long run. It's fine. You still got there. But it took a lot more negative force to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you kind of standing in the way.
Yeah, that buildup of pressure in that moment of resistance of you know, like, you know, hooking onto that fence post and not moving, that's going to lead to a bridge of incidents, a series of incidents of just stuff going wrong in your life until the big one hits you.
You'd be like, hey, dude, you need to wake up.
Yeah.
Hey, dude, you need to wake up. Hey, man, you need to wake up. All right, here you go.
Here you go.
Boom.
Boom.
You ended up waking up, but it's like, come on. There was something telling you, hey, man, something's coming. You need to look at yourself.
Yeah.
Look at the situation.
Yeah, you know, you think about it. You wake up every day and life is still going on, right? Life is still continuing on. That's that source consciousness always, you know, turning backwards, you know, in toward itself. Life is always moving. You got to keep up with the rotation of the yards passing by. It's like you're not making life happen. Life is happening for you. You know?
And our concept of time, of just daily time, of our cycles of waking up in the morning, going to work, and going to bed at night, and doing the same thing over and over again, it doesn't help with having our spiritual perception of how our life experience is laid out. It has us thwarted from where we should be looking.
Yeah.
No, we can still be looking in the same direction, but the focus is out.
Yeah, you know, I think that's why a lot of people wind up in depressed or miserable or just, you know, going crazy. It was like you just said, that constant repetition every day, Monday through Friday, the same damn schedule and cycle. But life is always changing, but that aspect of your life is not changing. It's the one thing that's staying the same. So while you have a certain bandwidth that's changing, but that's staying the same. So you're going to wind up feeling like some kind of discomfort. Whether you slip into a state of depression or anxiety or just becoming more angry, or you start to really question things like, what the hell am I doing with my life? What is going on here? I don't even feel good about this anymore. Life keeps going, building that pressure. You know, it's changing underneath of you, but you keep, the backyards are trying to change, but you keep trying to stay in the same backyard.
You can't stay in the same backyard.
You can't. Yeah, that, like you said, that 9 to 5, that proverbial 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, you know, morning rush hour traffic, evening rush hour traffic, you know, same damn thing day after day. You're going to go crazy, really, because I think that feeling you get is really a sign from the universe telling you to change your life.
Man, and it's the reason why that things won't ever go back to that quote unquote normal that we want it to be, because that yard doesn't exist anymore.
It's gone.
Yes. You've passed it.
Yeah.
The universe is no longer there anymore.
It rotated.
You've got to be changing along with everything else. You have to allow yourself to evolve with everything else.
Yeah.
Allow yourself to go back to source, to go back to unity, back to love, because that's where we're all evolving back to anyway. We are evolving back towards love.
We are.
But what kind of attack do we have inside of our inner being?
Yeah.
If we have attack, it's keeping us away from going more towards love.
Right.
We're still staying with attack. We attack ourselves. And if we're attacking ourselves, we're definitely going to be attacking other people.
Other people, yeah.
Because it's other people's fault, the reason why we're attacking ourselves. At least that's what we tell ourselves.
That's what we tell ourselves.
It's always someone else's fault.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... it's as we go back towards source, it's back toward love. It's going to purge all of the darkness and BS out of us, but you won't see it that way. You might notice yourself becoming angrier or more miserable or whatever, and think that that's the result of current life circumstances, but that's source trying to purge it out of you to get rid of it. But we hold on to it and try and keep that, and that causes this massive amounts of grief and pain and misery. And
because then that same instance gets tied into other instances.
Oh yeah, absolutely, it does.
It creates like this little network or framework of just negativity that's based upon, it's going to be based upon an illusion, but it's based upon one source of an illusion.
Yeah.
But if you remove that one source, that whole framework collapses.
It does, yeah. It's just, it's a house of cards. It appears strong, but it's actually a house of cards. It'll crumble pretty easily once you start tackling it. It's the craziest thing. It appears strong to keep you from changing, but pull a couple cards out from under it and it all falls down. Mm-hmm. And then you go, oh, why didn't I do this earlier? This was actually simpler than I thought. This dark spot wasn't so bad.
It's like looking at the structure of a house, the foundation of a house. If you're the person that's inspecting this, you want all those points, the main structural points, to have the most integrity as possible. And yeah, it has to be on a strong foundation. The foundation has to be strong. So going in there and looking at all these key structural areas, are there any weaknesses in there? Is the structure on a weak foundation? Is the foundation actually corrupted?
Yeah.
Is, you know, instead of being on a concrete slab, is it on rock or is it on sand? Well, that one weakness is going to end up affecting the entire structure over time. The strength of the entire structure is at a loss because of just that one point. But you can see the same analogy within yourself as well. That one weak structural point is going to affect the rest of your structure.
Yeah. Now that, excuse me, that reminds me of what I was going to say earlier. That when we dip into that next backyard and that next new level of darkness gets pushed up to the surface that we deal with, we perceive it as, okay, this life just got more difficult for whatever reason. You don't actually see what's happening. You think life got more difficult, or, you know, the situation's, you know, whoever's being mean to me, or this happened, or this happened. But what people do is, in that new difficult situation, as a self-protection mechanism, they revert to the past and think, oh man, remember back in the day? You know, it was this and this back in the day. They always remember it better than what it was. Even though when they were there, it sucked. Like, oh yeah, remember when we did that? That wasn't so bad, right? Yeah, man, we could just, you know, if then could be now, you know? They got a real bad case of the member berries. You remember back when? You know, even in the moment, it sucked. So they try to live in the past to comfort themselves, to try and keep from dealing with the new screwed upness that they're now in, the new backyard that they're now in. Excuse me. And they don't face this new obstacle, and they keep living in the past. And then as that backyard tries to keep moving by, they haven't dealt with anything because they've been living in, oh, I wish I could go back to yesterday because yesterday wasn't so bad, even though when you were there, it did suck. You know, and that's because people that knew the new situation a lot of times makes people fold because they think they're not ready to deal with it.
Lack of self-confidence, self-worth, all of that comes into play there.
Yeah, all of it comes into play.
Whether they want to be like a failure, afraid to fail. I mean, gosh. And there's a lot of people that are plowing through them, no problem. You know, yeah. no issues at all. Moving through life.
Yeah. Yeah, moving. And you know, and that's the thing too. When we're moving through life, we're in flow with life, and that's when you're happy and you feel good. Mm-hmm. Everything's moving. And we all do it. We all get stuck in these points every so often in a certain field. And we become stagnant for whatever reason that we are telling ourselves in our head. So we go in these periods of like flow and then stagnation. Flow and stagnation, which also creates its own wave pattern, a pattern of repeating behavior. That, you know, it shows up as repeating behavior after a while. Which would hopefully point you toward, okay, why do I keep doing that? What inside me is causing me to do that? And then at some point, maybe you could tackle that and get rid of that repeating behavior.
It's just an expansion contraction. We can't have just constant expansion.
No.
Or just constant contraction. You would be learning something, but only to a certain extent, or you would only be seeing things from one side, or it would be unbalanced. You have to be able to have that bias between the two so you can see your different polarities.
Different polarities. Yeah, I meant in the aspect of...
No, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, when that situation pops up, just deal with it. You're still going to have your growth and slow spots. Just deal with it so it's a little bit easier on you. You know? Instead of going, remember back when? And then boom, you're like, the universe has pushed three new fields on you. And you're in that slingshot effect where you're about to get slung into a brick wall.
and you get slung into a new level of yard. Whoa, what's going on here?
You get slung into a damn thorn bush. The hell is going on here? This wasn't supposed to happen. This is supposed to be a new back out, I tell you. This isn't fair.
Okay, so going back to this cone, I just want to rebuild a visualization here to kind of help with all of this.
Okay, do it.
Okay. Clean slate. Your mind is blank. It's black. You're in a void.
You're in a void.
Hang on, let me take a sip of my monster here.
Do it. You got that orange monster today.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So we're just going to start off with source, God.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to start off with just a point of light. If you even want to consider this an analogy of looking at the Big Bang, you could even do that. It'd be similar. So you start off with source. Everything begins to start to expand from there, from source, okay?
Yeah.
Let's say you start off with source. You begin to expand out from there. You begin to branch off so you can get to experience for source. Keeps branching out further and further away from source. There's more disorder the further you get away from source.
Yeah.
You keep expanding, and eventually reach some point to where you are experiencing in your life. Whatever you're learning is going back to Source because you are a part of it. You're walking along through those fields of learning about you, learning about Source, learning about others. Let's say you're out the furthest, all the way out away from Source. Do you think that you would be in contact with it? Do you think that you would know anything about it? You're probably trying to just figure out yourself, man. There's really nothing else going on.
No. You're just becoming aware of yourself.
Well, are you going to be, let's say if you're out there, would you be a positive person or would you be negative? You know, you may not know really about either one. You may be just trying to do things and just learn what works. What works for you, and it could be chaos, man. Trying to take from others, hurting others, whatever. If you were negative, it could be violent, angry, just because of that chaos. You don't know who you are.
Right.
But eventually, you know, you're walking through these fields, and, you know, you're getting out of the gravel and the dirt into, you know, a little bit patchier, grassier areas. You are kind of starting to get to figure things out. You know, you're able to, you know, make friends and work with other people and stuff and be able to to begin to unify with others because you're unifying yourself. So as you keep going and you keep getting higher and higher through these levels, well, your entire reality changes as you get up in the next levels. You have a different experience, and even the people that you come in contact with are completely different people. And maybe it seems like life is starting to speed up, like there really is no concept of time per se, that everything is just maybe blended. But as this is happening, you are getting closer to Source. You're actually becoming in contact with it now. Because at some point, if you were looking at like this, say the shape of a cone, it doesn't matter what size that cone shape is, it's going to have a middle point in it, a center of gravity that keeps that cone in balance.
Yeah.
Now you can even look at the center of the gravity for the cone. It's not going to be right in the middle because of the shape of the cone. All that weight, you know, on that back end, the center of gravity is going to be shifted a little bit more towards all that weight on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a lot of work to go through to get that center of gravity to shift to where you're being drawn to Source.
Yeah.
Now, that center of gravity, that tipping for the empaths now, they would be essentially feeling that tip. They're on that, you know, now that everything has shifted, now they're starting to work their way back towards Source. They may not be aware of this. It may not be something that they're wanting. But the balance of their state of being has reached a certain point to where that has shifted now. They're not going to go back to how it was before.
Yeah. It, It'd be too much damn work to shift that, which you just shifted back again.
It'd be impossible because everything is turning.
Yeah, you couldn't even go against the flow. It wouldn't even let you.
But as we get closer to finding our source, to finding ourselves, we end up shedding off those old fields, those old layers. Well, if those layers aren't there anymore, they're not a part of you. They're not present with you anymore. If you have lost the layers of shame, if you've lost those layers of guilt, then you're no longer guilty. You no longer have the capacity of guilt for yourself or for others.
Right.
The mind wouldn't be able to wrap its head around that.
Mm-mm.
To know the disappearance of guilt and it no longer being there. It's unbelievable changes within the mind.
Can't conceive of what it doesn't know.
But the more that we love ourselves, the more that our lacks, just our general negativity is going to fall away just simply by loving ourselves.
Yeah.
By giving back to ourselves. But it's in a higher way. It's not from the aspect of what the mind wants and what the ego wants. It's what we truly need. But if we've lost sight of ourselves, how are we going to try and get that back? Do we know who to give it to?
You have no idea. No clue. Can't love others if you don't even know how to love yourself. You wouldn't know how. No concept. But if that's all you're filled with, is love, joy, and compassion, then you can definitely give that out.
And you're giving that out in everything that you do.
Yeah.
Because if that's all you are, every action you do, every behavior, all your thoughts, that is what it's involved with. That's what it's sourced from. That's what it's related to.
Yeah.
How are you going to have angry thoughts if you're just solely a loving person? Would you have the capacity to hurt another person?
No. If love is all you have to give because it's all you are, then that's all you're going to be and give. You couldn't be hateful.
If we want a higher and better life, we should just start off with just being nicer to ourselves. Stop being so hard on yourself. Be kind.
Love thyself.
Stop saying mean and hurtful things to yourself. Realize that when that happens, it's the ego. It's your own ego that's attacking you.
Yeah.
And trying to maintain a control over you.
That control level.
But once we realize what the ego is doing and we can separate from that, the healing process has already started to where we begin to regain control of ourselves.
Yeah.
It's not just like a one-time thing. It continues every time it speaks up. You're like, wait a minute, dude, I already heard you last time and the 25 times before that. No, I know who you are now.
No.
No, no.
No.
Stranger danger.
Your ego is the stranger danger. Oh, yeah. You're going to know how to say no to the ego. You're going to know how to not let it in. Just operating simply out of joy and love and compassion.
But if you're going along with the flow of life, being your Zen, then you have the capacity to do that all the time.
All the time. In every aspect.
Absolutely. There is no stepping outside of that. You already are it.
I think that's the hardest thing for people to visualize and conceptualize is already being it. There's nothing to become because you are it. You don't need to manifest it because you are it.
It's like all of us have been in, a majority of us have been in these states where, you know, get in some type of a funk at work or in a relationship or whatever, and you keep talking yourself into this state. Like you wake up in the morning, like, oh, I'm already pissed off. I'm already mad at this person. Okay, so then you wake up the next day. I'm still pissed off. I'm still mad at this person. Whatever it is, and you know, say that you've done this for a couple weeks of doing that, waking up every day. I'm pissed off about this. Eventually, you're just going to become to where you just are pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
There is no more. You have to keep telling yourself you are.
You just are.
You have become it. Well, so you can have just a basic mood turn into behaviors, turning into oh my God, core components of how you're going to now operate in your life. You're restructuring and reprogramming yourself as to what you want to be, whether it be a positive thing or whether it be a negative thing.
Yeah. Wow.
So many of us do that daily, but we don't see what we're actually doing, that we are the ones programming ourselves. No one else.
Yeah, especially if you're letting the ego chatter. That thing will auto-program you for sure.
But by breaking that chain of events, simply by not feeding any energy to any of those processes, all of that will start to break down. Once it is broken down, we're able to go in and rebuild that structure for how we want it to be, how it needs to be, what it's going to take for it to be stronger, to be as our higher self would want it to be.
Absolutely.
Instead of having those little structural, those structural areas in there, whether it be corrupted, whether it be on a not sturdy foundation, by going in there, you get to fix those key areas.
Right.
But once that's fixed, the entire structure is now more solid. It's stronger. But with our, and you even go further into this with our refinement as our higher self. You're now going into all of those structural points, and say if it was made out of wood and concrete, now you're replacing it with titanium or with metal. You're now super reinforcing everything. Yeah. All of those points you're going into, all of them, and redoing the entire structure to even stronger. If that's how you want that to be, it's now set. Well, if it's already set and there's a storm that's taken place outside, are you going to have anything else to do to the structure?
Oh, no.
You don't have anything to worry about.
No. That's not even going to affect you.
You gain all your security and just from knowing that that structure is sound.
Mm-hmm.
You have nothing to worry about.
Yeah, you know, just that feel-good moment of knowing that you've done the work to get where you are and knowing that what's the storm on the outside of you can't touch you.
Yeah.
You got that bubble that you built up around you of the shadow work that you put in, you know, to get rid of whatever's going on inside you. And that external nonsense that you're seeing it's happening, it can't even get in past that bubble. You're safe. I mean, just to feel good in that moment, knowing, you know what? I did the work. I'm good. Mm-hmm. I built that solid foundation. I know my worth and my value now at this level. You know, I know who I am. I know how valuable I am. You know, I don't accept this level of BS.
And I would say that you would, if you were in that structure, the storm was going on, I think that you could even walk over, open up the door, open up all the windows, and know that that structure is still going to be sound. Yeah. Just sit out there in the doorway and just watch the storm.
Just watch it, yeah. Can't even touch you. And that would be that confidence booster right there, just to walk out, sit on the front porch, just right in the middle of it. Just be like, haha, you can't touch me. And just know that the work you've done is real, is solid. It is working for you in the moment. And that BS out there can't touch you because you've moved inward closer to its source. Boom.
I can see the, if this was a structure based upon the ego, okay. Yeah. With the structure having its weak foundation and that storm going on, the ego would be yelling and screaming at the storm. You can't hurt me because I'm strong. I have all this strength, yada, yada, yada. But it's all bark.
It's all bark. Yeah. All bark.
That storm will take down that structure.
Yeah. Yeah, the storm is going to win unless you've actually done the work.
But the ego is going to have to blame someone else for that structure being weak. It's not.
It's, yeah. You know,
someone else should have done the inspection.
Someone else. It's your fault. You did this to me.
I didn't know anything about an inspection. Someone else should have done that.
Yeah.
Someone else's responsibility.
There's that weakness.
It was someone else's responsibility, the reason why I feel the way that I do.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, if you've ever been around people that are just chaotic and losing their minds, And you noticed in that moment that you're not even affected by it as you're standing there watching them, or you're around this craziness, it can't even touch you. That's the universe showing you right there how much progress you've made from where you used to be.
Instead of getting sucked into the other person's chaos.
Yeah. And I've seen that so many times in my life where people around me, I just see them and they're just going crazy. Everything in their life is a problem or a dramatic situation. They have an angry, dramatic story to back up every problem. And they're just sitting there losing their minds. And I'm just sitting there in my own little bubble of calmness. But like there's this tornado that I'm seeing outside of me. Just these people just sit there spinning in their own madness. It's like, wow, you know, I've come a long way. I've progressed. That's, and these poor people are just unaware of being unaware.
Yeah.
Sitting there going, I'm glad I'm not where they're at. They don't even realize they have a BS story for every bad situation in their life. that the ego is like making up this cover story for everything. And they're going around talking about it, telling people as why this is messed up, that's messed up. My life is like this because this and this. It's like, no, your ego is making this up and you're letting it.
Yeah. Yeah, we're good about making up stories. Inaccurate stories.
Yeah. Inaccurate stories that cause pain and suffering to the self. That's not even true. The pain and suffering just driving you further into depression and madness.
But simply by understanding that we do have a metaphysical component, it's the other half. The other half of our experience.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on inside of us is what's manifested physically.
Mm.
God, I mean, and what I'm manifesting and what you're manifesting and everyone else that's listening to this is manifesting.
Yeah.
But at least by helping each other out, man, be a so much smoother ride for all of us as, instead of just beating each other up. Because there really is no point. It doesn't serve a purpose to harm another person.
No.
In any way, shape, or form.
No. You know, you're not giving up any, you're not giving up anything to help someone. You're enhancing, you're giving to, which is just going to help everybody in the long run. You're adding value to someone's life, even just the smallest little piece of help that you give them. It's added value.
That's funny that you say that, because the ego, and being that it has to be stronger and higher and better than everyone else around us begins to lose value according to the ego. You have all the value.
Right.
Everyone else tapers off, or whether they don't have any value at all. They're valueless.
Yeah.
So if your mind is thinking that someone else is valueless, how is your mind going to work when you're interacting with that person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's an automatic program that's already running, and you may not even have sight of it.
No.
It's already there.
You're going to treat that person terribly, unconsciously.
You automatically go into that situation and think that you're better than them.
Yeah.
You may want to try and control them to try and get something for your gain, or to do something to raise you higher than them. Something.
Mm-hmm.
If it's based upon the ego.
Yeah.
But now if it's based upon love, it's a totally different transaction. When you're interacting with that person, you're elevating them and yourself.
Absolutely. You're just growing that spiritual power between the both of you more than what you could realize.
Mm-hmm. It's doing something within unity versus separation.
I picture, like, if you've ever seen individual water drops form together and they become bigger. Mm-hmm. Like every time you help somebody out, it just becomes a bigger piece of source.
Well, I think that's kind of how it's happening anyway, that, yeah, everybody's... Yeah. That. Everybody evolving back towards source. Source is just getting bigger and bigger.
Bigger, yeah, because, you know, the ego would separate those water drops, but love would bring it together. And then eventually, at some point, the gravitational pull, that love being gravitationally pulled toward back toward the original source, would just be so strong, it just...
Yeah.
Boom. It's all back together again.
But once that drop has blended with source, where does the ego go? It disappeared.
Gone. Eaten up, destroyed, pushed out. See you later. And that's earlier when you were describing the outermost reaches of the outer rings, the outer piece of that cone. I just imagine like the water drops being really far separated.
Yeah.
But at some point, you're going to very slowly bump into another one. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're going to, all that mass of those water drops will eventually create enough gravity to where you move in a level and then another level, you know, over the eons of however long this is taking. And then at some point, you get to a point on that cone to where it's just now it's really going because you built up enough mass and momentum. It's just moving right along.
And on the same, with the same analogy, like you were saying of with those ones all the way out there, you're slowly blending with other ones.
Yeah.
Those are also other people. You have your orbit. You end up unifying with someone else and you're caught in their orbit.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else and you're, that's, you know.
Yeah, all the people coming back together.
Yeah.
Yeah, every time that you have an interaction that's more love than ego, I think those water drops, the people, form back together to a bigger one, which draws in more people. Like if you at that level, which draws in more people at that energetic level, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Just snowball effect.
Snowball effect. And so that is so big that it now affects all the other ones that didn't want to conform for whatever reason. It had no choice but to affect them because you become so strong as a group now. You know, it just, then that outer ring erase, it just disappears and it erases.
Yeah.
As everything moves back toward it and it just drops off. As those negative rings drop off, just like in your drawing there, and you become closer and closer toward love, and at a certain point you're nothing but love, and all those rings of expansion of negativity are gone. The dense, heavy rings are just gone. Doesn't exist. Yeah. This, wow. I hope that was like a really good visual analogy for everyone. I hope.
So I made a comment a while back that if you look at the, if you're able to tune into the Akashic record, if you're able to go to the end of the data of where the Akashic record is, it's reducing itself. It's slowly going away. Those digits are slowly reducing themselves, but source is getting stronger. It's pulling all of it back.
Yeah. All that knowledge getting sucked back in.
So it's not that it's losing data. It's not. It's transforming it, and it's going back to the original source.
Yeah.
It's just, it's moving data. That's all it is. Yeah. It's not becoming weaker.
No.
Yeah.
Source is becoming super, super strong.
See, it's like it's, to me, that makes it seem like that it's building everything up for the next big bang, that next big cycle or whatever it is. Whether it be it's creating just this universe or the whole multiverse, whatever it is, that all of that energy is rebuilding itself back up to eventually, I mean, all of the eventually, that energy is returning all back to source. Once all of it's back and compressed, where is it going to go from there?
Yeah. It's going to explode again.
It's just restarting that process. It's restarting that other wave.
Yeah, if source, it stays on level one and explodes outward, and all those situations are building up energy and mass as it goes back toward, now it's going to be heavier and more dense than what it was the first time, and level two is going to explode outward. And it's just going to keep recycling like that.
Like when you start your car and your, you know, your spark plugs are sparking, you know, tick, 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 tick.
Yeah.
Look at each tick as like a big bang.
Boom.
So between each tick was the entire, all the cycles, all everything of source going back to source.
Yeah.
But now it's just faster.
Faster and faster and faster.
At least you could be able to see that in a big bang in a measurement.
Yeah.
That's zooming out pretty far.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever seen it or if any listeners at home have seen it, but there's a diagram that quantum physicists have drawn, and they drew to where they think there's about anywhere between 4 to 6 big bangs that have occurred already. They've gone out and then sucked back in somewhere around, I think they said somewhere between 4 and 6 times already it's happened that they that they can mathematically figure.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would imagine at some point it gets so fast the point to where you can't even see that it's happening and it just shows up as one solid.
Yeah. One solid bang.
Bang. Yeah. Just a big, whatever that means, that maybe that's source becoming the ultimate version of itself.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be the ultimate highest version of itself.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, man. For it to learn any more than that would have to create a whole other new structure of what it would be able to learn from itself.
Yeah. We'd have to create a new structure for itself to live in.
We would probably all have to split off as our own sources, as our own gods at that point.
Yeah.
Like, you know, each person would be their own source of all things, controlling or operating its own multiverses and stuff like that. Come right. on. I mean, how much can you learn past your own creation of your own love?
Yeah. Yeah. I would think God would exceed its own environment, and somehow it would have to have a new environment, a new expanded environment for it to expand its newness in.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But at that point, it would be intelligent enough to create its own living environment, a new higher one for its new expansion.
So at that point, there would be no pause. It would still be just pressing on.
Pressing on, yeah. Wow. Just saying that, I can feel my brain expanding.
Well, we got a long way to go. I mean, that's billions and billions and billions, trillions.
I mean,
if you could measure that.
Yeah, trillions of of creations away from now. Trillions of Big Bangs away from now.
How much work do we got to do between then?
Good God. I mean, what kind of life being are you at that point? You're just literally a beam of light.
We're too caught up and worried about having 2 days off for the weekend, but how many more trillions of years of work do we got to do?
Right. Oh my God.
This is just a pit stop, man.
This is a pit stop. This reality is a pit stop.
It's a fart in the wind.
Yeah.
So don't be so wrapped up in it. Just learn, love, and just be happy, man.
Yeah. It's a very traumatic pit stop for your learning and growth, but like you said, don't be caught up in it.
Yeah. Way too wrapped up in the physicalness of it.
Good God.
If we were to take a step back into the spiritual side of it and regain ourselves, we can at least be able to get this set off on a more positive foot. But taking that step back is when you are going back to source, going yeah. back to zero, resetting that wave function. Okay, well, keep resetting it. Continually reset it until you have found where you don't need to reset it anymore.
Yeah, I like that. Found where you don't need to reset it anymore.
Because at that point, you have found the model that you want to work with. Yeah. Now you're just going to be building upon that model, strengthening it, refining it, polishing it.
Yeah.
Decorating it.
Holy hell.
Allowing yourself to get past that center of gravity point to where your inner pull shifts in a more positive direction.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You can feel that pull within you, just pulling you in a direction back toward where you need to go. At that point, you just need to go with the flow. And just work on stuff as it comes by.
As it comes.
Which would just go back to what we were saying in the beginning about the ground just moving underneath you.
That is an interesting way to look at it. You standing in place, but the ground is what's moving.
Yeah. You got to keep running in place.
Just keep moving your legs.
Yeah, just keep moving your legs. Yeah, because I mean, source is making life go by. I mean, it's already created. It's already happening. You're just walking along in something that's happening, which means it's moving. Happening means it's moving. You're just walking through it, or i.e. walking in place. You're walking through what's already. It'd be like walking on top of the earth as it's spinning, and you just got to try and stay at the 12 o'clock position.
Yeah.
Just move your legs and stay there and don't get too far behind so you don't get slung shot back forward again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because if creation is already finished and we're just, he's showing us what he made. If you think about it, he's like, look what I made.
Yeah.
You got to walk through the backyard. You cannot get too far behind.
I like that. Look what I made.
Yeah.
You either say it's good or you say it's not good.
Right. The value you put on it. This is good or bad. But it's God saying this is good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
God judging itself.
Uh-huh.
What value did God put on its own work? What the? He's inspecting his own. He's living his own creation for the purposes of his own growth and expansion. Through the veil of forgetfulness. Kind of remember that you're God, kind of don't. Can wake up if you do it right, or you can be miserable if you do it wrong. Look what I made, and then he sends an asleep part of himself out to go inspect it and play in it. Jesus. Wrap your head around that.
But at the same time, it's simple.
It is.
We've made it difficult.
We did. We made it complex and difficult and hard and miserable and sad and lonely. What are we doing to ourselves? What are you doing to me? Why are you asking me? I'm you. Well, I'm you too. You have the answer. You are me.
All right. We'll kind of start wrapping this up. But before we do, just want to mention one thing. Just going back to, you know, even something that Jesse was talking about earlier of, you know, being the medium of meeting, being able to meet God in the middle, being able to meet ourselves in the middle, others in the middle. It's everything within our experience that will essentially be meeting in the middle. And I mean, I put down that there's like seven levels, if you will, for the seven different levels of consciousness.
Mm.
What those levels of consciousness are essentially those, how far you're going to be meeting God in the middle within yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So yeah, seven levels within yourself of what meeting God in the middle means in that instance, or any instance, or within your state of being. Like, I don't know. Can we look at that now and gauge that in our daily life to see if we are meeting God in the middle, or how far away are we from that?
if we're helping him to help us.
Yes. Or if we're not even using that at all, or maybe only just a small component of it, like how far are we from it? But getting ourselves closer to it is where we'll start seeing changes in everything else for sure.
Mm.
The closer we get to that middle, to that medium point. But as we do that, we're getting in connection with everything else around us as well. The metaphysical that we don't have sight of, the closer that we get to our middle.
Yeah. Which is just a more well-balanced version of yourself.
There's so many things. And I'd say it's almost everything that we do have to meet it in the middle.
Hmm. Yeah.
There is no point in resisting anything. It is what is going on internal of us that causes our resistance.
Yes.
But finding out what that is what is going to set us free in our future. Go on a journey to find that within yourself.
What is causing the resistance to what's happening around you? Why are you resisting the advancement of life and the advancement of consciousness? Wow.
Thank you for listening. I hope this episode wasn't too crazy for
you. Yeah.
Hopefully that made sense.
I hope so. Yeah, this last week's episode and this one are definitely very metaphysical. For some people, that could be hard to wrap their mind around, and other people are going to get it easily. So,
yeah, this is definitely not going to be for everyone.
Yeah,
people seeking this kind of information. It's just an analogy. It's just to make it just where it's more understandable.
Yeah, but you know, I feel like in the early part of the podcast, we took that bucket of nuts and bolts, we dumped it out, we went through them, we analyzed them, you know, and now this is the natural progression going toward the metaphysical side of awakening and progressing with your spiritual awakening. You know, we dumped that out and exposed it and put all the correct nuts back on the correct bolts and all the washers and everything, and
yeah, did the majority of the physical, now working on the metaphysical and tying in the physical.
Yeah, we're circling back around and tying in the early stuff that we dumped out on the floor and exposed.
Yeah, because all that stuff that was on the floor is all stacked and put together and little towers.
Foundation. We foundationed it.
That's funny. That's a nice little analogy there. Thanks, Jesse.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Thanks.
I love you, man.
I love you too, brother.
And to the listeners, we love you. And thanks for listening. Thanks for being here with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Just
be kind to each other, love each other, and we'll see you with a new episode in a week.
Yeah, do what Russell said.
Okay. We love you guys.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Just as bad as you.